to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. We're so happy you could join us. I'm Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb.
So today's guest is Megan Jo Wilson. I met Megan Jo in true Divine Breadcrumb fashion. I had actually been talking with a fellow coach during an online workshop, and we were discussing some of the feelings of imposter syndrome we had when we first started. And the woman said to me, "You have to get this book. It's called Who the Fuck Am I to Be a Coach?" Well, the title alone had me intrigued. And that night I ordered it on my Kindle. I read the whole thing in one sitting. And it was as if this book was written for me. It was exactly what I needed to read. So the next day I sent Megan Jo an email to let her know how impactful the book was. And I wasn't sure if I would hear back. She wrote me back this really nice response and offered me a place in a training she was doing. I, of course, was thrilled and jumped at the chance. It was a divine breadcrumb, and you don't turn your back on that. And since that time, I have learned so much from her. Megan Jo is not only an author and a coach of over 15 years, but she's also a singer. Her most recent venture is Rockstar Camp, which is a purely unique, confident coaching program for women. This program is changing lives. Megan Jo's passion for what she does is infectious. She is funny, compassionate, and generous with her knowledge. I'm so excited to have her on the show today. Welcome, Megan Jo.
Jeez, Louise, thank you.
We're very excited to be chatting with you today.
I know. I'm excited too. I'm sitting here beaming. I'm already getting misty-eyed, you know. Thank you for that, Carol.
Oh, yeah. We're just so excited. So before we dive into kind of what you're doing now, could you tell our listeners a little bit about your childhood and what were things like for you growing up and what brought you to coaching?
Mm-hmm. We're going there. Okay.
I'm going there.
Well, yeah, I'd love to tell you about that. So I grew up in Southern Maine, on the coast of Southern Maine, in a town called Cape Elizabeth, where I now still live and where I now still hold my retreats and Rockstar Camp. So I never thought I'd settle back here in Maine. But after living a bunch of other places, one of those things where you realize, oh, where I grew up was extraordinarily beautiful and magical. I think I'll go back. And I grew up the youngest of five in a step family. Oh. And so there was a lot going on with five kids in a step family. Mm-hmm. Both, it was a kind of a Brady Bunch situation, except five kids instead of six, meaning the other partners were sort of like out of the picture entirely. So we were very tight. And both of my parents are, you know, my mom and stepdad are brilliant explorers of religion, faith, world religion, spirituality. So I was just talking about this with my friend, my best friend, who's Jewish, who's thinking about how she's going to raise her future children in a world where so many of us are spiritually and religiously ambivalent. But I'm mentioning that to you as we're talking about divinity, because I grew up in an environment where conversations about God were really normal.
Yeah.
around the dinner table. And not that there was one God, but, you know, isn't it interesting that they talk about God this way in one culture and this way in another one? And our bookshelves were lined with, you know, the mysticism of Buddhism and Christianity and the Bible and, you know, and then just all kinds of philosophical conversations were had. And music was, and obviously still is, a huge part of my experience growing up. I truly did sing in the backyard, you know, with a wooden spoon kind of thing to my imaginary audience.
Awesome.
And so it's really cool that that's still a huge part of my life and now my work. And I got into coaching through my brother. My brother and I are very close. And at the time I was a musician, which pays negative dollars, yes. Really, by the end of your bar tab and, you know, makeup. And I was a cook. And I was a farmer. I was a farmer in the summer and a cook in the winter, and a musician and studying martial arts. So I was living this really bohemian artist lifestyle and loving it in a lot of ways. And my brother came back from a coach training. I didn't know what it was. And he was like fired up. And he gave me a gift certificate for $200 off my first course. And he said, "You have to go do this training. This is what you do anyway. You might as well make a living doing it. Mm. And I think it's really going to help you with all your gifts and talents as well." So I met coaching through my dear brother, Devin. Yeah.
Is he also working as a coach?
He's not working as a coach per se, like doing individual clients, but you know how it is. Once you're trained as a coach, that's for most of us how you live. It's how we show up. So he, you know, he does branding and design for like a spirits company, but he's like the heart of the company. Everybody goes to him when there's problems. He does all the conflict resolution. He, you know, he's definitely coach-like in how he lives.
Oh, that's great. Well, it was funny because as you were talking about growing up in the Brady Bunch, of course, I love the Brady Bunch growing
right?
up. I think I know every episode and I'm picturing you with your wooden spoon. And then I'm getting visions of the silver platters, you know, the group that the Brady Bunch had together where they all sang together.
Oh, that's right. Oh, man.
So were you the only singer in the family?
Well, yeah. You know, I think my brother is really musical. My mom is really musical. My dad, who I'm really close with now, is very musical. Yeah, I was sort of the musical one in the bunch. We all had different gifts and talents. But yeah, no, we didn't have the silver platters, unfortunately. I'm trying to get my kids to do that. Like, yeah. I'm constantly trying to get them to play music together.
I love
it. It's the dream.
That sounds like fun, though.
It was so fun, you know, and I didn't think I was very good. I loved to sing. I sang all through school and choruses and things like that. And then my stepmom at the time taught me how to play guitar, just a little bit of, she was a real folky, you know, and she taught me how to play a little bit of basic guitar so that I could sing along with something. And then I started writing music and just as sort of therapy for myself, you know,
absolutely.
Just heartbroken love songs mostly. And then, you know, I met some, other musicians who heard some of my songs. They're working at the restaurant I worked at. And they said, you know, this is actually quite good. You should record this. You should share it. So I had a lot of, angels along the way encouraging me.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is great. So switching gears a little bit, tell us a little about your initial struggles as a coach and how once you shifted your mindset, your coaching took off.
So I knew after my very first course, my first coach training course, I walked into that room very skeptically. I didn't actually even love the training very much, but by the end of it, I had a really powerful spiritual download, one of very few, actually, undeniable download that this was the work I was meant to do in the world. So I left and all excited. I found my work in the world. And because I was so lit up, I did tell everyone I knew about it, just like my brother had. I was so fired up and enrolling people at a low cost. And I had lots of clients at times, but my frustration was that I didn't know how to enroll regular clients, pay clients on a consistent enough basis that I could coach full time and only do coaching, which was what my dream was and what so many of us dream of and struggle with. The mindset shift for me, there were and still are so many mindset shifts, but the first one was around money. And my very first coach was a woman named Bonnie Cohen, who transitioned in body several years ago, but is alive and well in spirit all over my life. And she was a mentor to me and an amazing coach. And she really taught me a lot about the energetics of money, about receiving money, accepting money, asking for money, being in relationship to money, paying attention to it, loving it. Because it was so unfamiliar to me. I didn't have a lot of money growing up and I wasn't making a lot of money because I was this farmer musician, you know? So I had to do a lot of mindset shifting around that. And then I realized that what was going on for me wasn't just mindset. It was a knowledge gap that I just didn't know how to run a business. I didn't know how to market things. I didn't know how to price things because no one had taught me. And it wasn't that I lacked courage or willingness to act. I just, I was lacking information. So that's when I started really saying, well, I'm smart. You know, if they can do it, I can do it. I'm just going to start learning more about business and marketing, and really loved and still love doing that. But man, it was hard. It was really hard. And I know it's hard for so many people, so many coaches trying to do the same thing, you know?
Yeah. And it definitely is one of those things that if you've never been exposed to any of that kind of education or the wrong kind of education, and you end up spinning your wheels, it can be very, very frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried a lot of different things that didn't stick. And that's why I created the program that Carol mentioned she was a part of, Warrior's Way, because I wanted to have a really practical, tactical program for new coaches, specifically for newly trained coaches that are just entering, you know, they've just done their training and haven't yet figured out, you know, how they want to package their stuff. So that was really fun to put together because I combined the tactical stuff and the mindset stuff, which I really believe we need both if we want to succeed. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was such a great program. And well, and it sounds like you've had some really powerful female mentors, which is such a great thing. And, you know, Rockstar Camp is such a fantastic idea. And for our listeners, this is not for people who want to become singers. So Megan Jo, how did this all come about? And can you tell our listeners what it entails?
Yeah, I'd love to. So Rockstar Camp is a program for women and women identified people so far, although I am piloting an all men's camp soon, which is really exciting. And it's an experiential feminist leadership development program. And meaning that it's designed to develop, you know, your leadership, where all of us are leaders in the world having impact. And it was born out of a few different things. One of them is that in my own leadership development training that I've done, I noticed that there was a lot of overlap between leading a meeting and leading a band, which I was doing all the time. I was, you know, running bands, running rehearsals, running shows, connecting with the audience, cueing when it's time to start and stop, knowing when it's time to pull back and let someone else lead musically, and being able to share and project my voice in a way that's compelling and delicious, and to hold space on a stage. Now, all those things are leadership competencies. Maybe not, it's not even about the music, but I always thought like there would be a really interesting way if I could just put those two things together, but I couldn't quite figure out what that would look like. And then I, just a couple of Christmases ago, was leading a concert. We do an annual holiday concert with a big band that I'm in called the Fog Cutters. It's 19 people. Wow. So a huge horn section, a 12-piece horn section, a rhythm section, and two vocalists. And I'm the female vocalist and the MC who, we're co-leading, all of us musicians, but I'm in the front, right? And after the show, a woman came up to me, and this happens to me billions of times over my music career. But a woman comes up to me with sort of like longing in her eyes. She says, "The show was so good. That show was so good. I would give anything if I could do that. You know, if I could sing on stage like that, if I could be confident like that, if I could feel that comfortable in my skin on stage." And, I have heard that so many times, but what stood out to me was I would give anything. Because remember, I've been doing my business training. So I said, "Okay, well, I have a question for you that's kind of odd. Would you pay money to have an experience like that?" And she said, "I would pay anything if you could make that happen for me." Now, I don't know where this woman is. Wherever you are, if you're hearing this podcast, give me a call. I don't even remember who it was, but something clicked in that moment. And I thought, so many people have this fantasy of being a rock star on stage, right? Mm. Do you guys ever have that fantasy? Like, you might not do it, but you're like, wouldn't that be so cool? Right? Now, why do we have that fantasy? Mm. And I think it's because we're seeing a person, a woman, in our case, a woman who is unapologetically confident, bold, taking up space, emotional, demanding, commanding. And not only is she not vilified for those things, which she is off the stage, she's celebrated for it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So it's like, what this experience does is gives a woman some practical tools for unwiring all this lifetime of conditioning around be quiet, be small, serve others first, don't take up too much space, question everything you do, doubt every move you make, notice every flaw in your body, dim your own light, on and on, right? Every day, all day. And, so that by the time after we work together for a couple of months together in sisterhood, they all come to Maine, usually about 10 women at a time. And we do some workshopping, and then we do a live concert. We do a performance to celebrate the work we've done. And as Carol said, these are not professional singers. They're not necessarily gifted singers. But by the time they get to the stage, they're just excited.
I bet.
They're ready to do this thing and step out. And even when, and always when, the song isn't perfect, right? It's never perfect. It moves the audience to tears to see a woman celebrating herself, even in her quote unquote flawed presentation, right? Ugh. And you can imagine, you know, when I've done leadership development where we did like ropes courses, mm-hmm. or, you know, solving puzzles as a group, there's a physicality to the learning. It's embodied. Your body never forgets once you've sung on stage with a live band behind you, the vibration of that music and the vibration of the audience in front of you, mm. and the adrenaline going and the clapping and the spotlight in your eyes, and you're singing it and you're doing it, and then you did it and you didn't die.
Yes.
Like that experience, you can literally see the difference in the woman before she does it and after.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that does sound incredible.
Yeah. And what happens at the ripple effect of it, I would take 10 podcasts to explain.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I mean, because suddenly they're seeing themselves as divas. Mm-hmm. Divas, which is Latin, comes from Latin divine, goddess.
Hmm. Right?
Yes. I was going to say, we have to embrace that energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Carol actually shared something with me earlier this week, much smaller scale, but similar impact. I've been having trouble with a client and I had to respond to his email. And I kept running my response past her and going, you know, I don't want to be too aggressive and I don't want to be bitchy. Mm-hmm. And she said he didn't think about any of those things when he sent the email to you.
You got that right.
And it was so freeing. It was just like, yeah, just say what I need to say.
Right. And not, you know, it's not his, he's not a bad man.
No.
He's a product of his culture, exactly. Just like we are.
Exactly.
Yep, exactly.
But he wasn't, yeah, he wasn't calling his best friend, am I being too aggressive?
Exactly.
Never.
Nope. Not at all.
Never. Now, you know, we're generalizing because I do know men that would absolutely do that. And I know women that wouldn't.
Right. But exactly.
Generally, we are trained to compromise and apologize for who we are. Mm. It's how our culture is. It's so normalized that we don't even see it.
Oh, absolutely. Which sort of leads me right into my next question. Talk a little bit about the cultural impact of self-doubt in women in leadership positions and how can they unravel that?
Yeah. Well, any woman who's listening, right? It's like they can't, sometimes it's so normal we can't see it. Mm-hmm. So how do we see it? Some exercises, I mean, first we have a lot of statistics, right? Mm-hmm. We know that there are fewer women in leadership positions when it comes to positions of power and influence. You know, all of us are leaders, no matter what our position is. But if we look at political roles, if we look at organizational roles, just shockingly fewer women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's certainly historical impacts of that, and women are in the workforce not all that long ago. But if we start to think about how we can show up as leaders, and, you know, I'm not influenced by the patriarchy, some women will say. And I'll say, how many times today did you think to yourself, I shouldn't have said that?
Mm.
I shouldn't have eaten that.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have done that. And inevitably they'll go, oh, 10 times since we just started talking.
Right.
Yeah.
Like 100 times since I woke up. And I think that's patriarchy. I think that's, and how can you possibly lead in a powerful way when you're constantly picking yourself apart?
Right.
You can't, like, shame and power cannot coexist.
Mm.
So we don't even know that how much shame we're walking with. But again, you know, you could ask a room full of 100 women, 200 women, 10 women, you know, any of you dealt with sexual violation? Anyone at all? Any kind of sexual violation? Mm. Every hand is going to go up.
Yeah.
Every hand. Jokes about gender that offended you? Anyone at all? Now imagine asking that to a room full of men.
Right.
Some right. hands will go up, but not every hand. Or, you know, it's so it's like we, are, you know, and when it comes to the voice, which is my obsession lately as a singer, and because Rockstar Camp is all about unlocking the empowered voice. Mm. I've never met a woman yet when I say, when did your voice get shut down? Mm-hmm. Every woman has a story. It might be, you know, I was told not to sing, or it might be, you know, my boss talks over me every day. I've stopped trying.
Right.
Or my boyfriend tells me I'm too emotional and dramatic. Mm. Or no one believed me when I told them that my uncle molested me. Right. Or, you know, we shut down our voices so often. So it's really hard to be in a leadership position when you're right, like gripped by self-doubt. Yeah. And the only way to unravel it is through sisterhood and practice. Mm. It's through sisterhood and practice, both of which the patriarchy tells us not to do.
Right. Right. They try and pit women against each other.
They don't try, they succeed. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like they completely, we are trained to not trust each other. We're trained to compete against each mm-hmm. other. We're trained to tear each other apart.
Right.
We're trained to see each other's competition. But I tell you what, and you know this, you put a group of women together in a safe space and say, we're not doing that anymore. It takes about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
For us to be like, thank God. Okay, girl. Yes, I got you.
Yes.
Do you? I want you to shine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you get that real buzzy energy when that starts happening.
Buzzy,
yeah.
High, miracles begin to occur. Mm-hmm. Anything becomes possible. And this is, I mean, I'm telling you, I had only male friends in high school. I had two female girlfriends that I sort of trusted, but I had 10 male friends that were my best. I did not hang out with women. I did not reach out to women. I did not trust women. I didn't know it until I started, you know, studying this stuff. So through sisterhood and through practice, because you can't do it once and be good, because then you've got the next hour of the patriarchy to face.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You have to constantly practice with as much discipline as you can muster to stay afloat and steer, you know, the culture to a different place, which we are doing, but it's, you know, it's chaotic, it's sloppy, which is great. That's how the feminine is.
It is. And this is actually a good segue from my next question, because I love getting different generations together for discussion. And, you know, we know our kids are always watching us. And so are our parents and grandparents, if we're lucky right. enough to have them with us. So, and I know you have a daughter, Megan Jo. So how has what you're doing to empower women as well as yourself impacted your daughter or your mom, your grandmother?
Such a sweet question, isn't it? It's so important, because none of the stuff we're doing would be happening without the women before mm-hmm. us, for sure. And so a lot of the, well, I'll say this, when I got pregnant and when I found out my baby was a girl, I sobbed.
Aww.
I sobbed in terror. How am I going to raise a female in this world? As a rape survivor myself, as as a woman in the world,
right.
Yeah. Seeing what's happening in the world, I just thought, how am I going to do this? This is my first strategy was, I'm done with saying I look fat in the mirror.
Yeah.
That was my first act of activism. And it's radical.
Mm.
You know how radical that
is? It's huge.
It's huge. And I sat down with my mom and I said, Mom, we got to make a deal. This little girl is going to be watching us. And you and I all day, every day, look in the mirror and go, oh, is that what I look like? What? Oh, God, I look like a rhinoceros. God, my arms look like two turkey legs. What is, God, what is going, my stomach is like, you know, we like make like poetry out of tearing ourselves apart. I said, we cannot do this anymore. So I don't do that. I don't do that in front of my daughter. And in fact, we, you know, we do things like look in the mirror and say, I love you.
I love it.
We have great conversations about the difference between bragging in a way that makes someone feel good or bragging in a way that makes someone feel bad. So one of the tools and practices, when I say we need to practice in sisterhood, I mean like specific tools and exercises. And one of them that I learned from another of my amazing mentors, Regina Thomashower, also known as Mama Gina, author of a best-selling book called Pussy, A Reclamation, which I highly recommend to anyone interested in this work. She teaches us a very simple tool called bragging. And Carol knows this because I made her do it all the time.
Yes, she did.
I did. We'd get on a call with a bunch of entrepreneurs. And before we did anything, I'd say, all right, I want to hear a brag from everyone about what's going well in your business. Now, how was that for you, Carol?
It was uncomfortable in the beginning. Yeah, it was, I don't want to do this. Like, it just felt, because it's in us that, oh, that's showing off. So yeah, there's a big difference between that show off energy and just being happy and excited to share something great that happened.
Yeah. And so you said it was uncomfortable at first. And then with practice and in a context where it's allowed and celebrated, because actually hearing other people brag is really uplifting. And young kids do it naturally. We come into the world knowing our light.
So true.
Kids brag all the time. It's all my daughter does with her friends. Hey, look at my dress. Mommy, look how high I can jump. I wrote the best book. Wait, look at my hair. Isn't it pretty? And then she'll get with her friends. Oh my God, I love your dress. I love your shoes. You're so good at that.
It's so true.
It's like, what the fuck happened here? Why do we, you know, it gets beaten out of us, you know, for all kinds of different reasons. And so that's just one way that I'm trying to support my daughter. And my mom is, you know, an amazing woman. My mom's really cool because she was a feminist in the 70s and went to the Peace Corps in Panama after college. And
cool.
And then she worked in corporate America and retired as one of the top executives of a global organization where she developed leaders. And she says, and she means it, she never compromised who she was.
Oh, that's great.
And she never felt like she couldn't be a woman. And I actually I didn't work with her, but I worked in the same organization for a while. So I kind of see her doing her thing. And she's not kidding. I mean, she was creative and wild and funny. And, you know, some people thought she was crazy, but she was so good at what she did. I don't know how she did it. But anyway, she wrote a book, by the way, that you guys should both read called I Pray Anyway. You both love it.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Pray Anyway, Devotions for the Spiritually Ambivalent. So I'm teaching her a lot of the tools that I teach in Rockstar Camp. I'm trying to get my sister to come to Rockstar Camp. So, you know, together we're rising is the only way to do
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that the whole idea of it scares the shit out of me, which makes me know that, oh, this is probably something I should do at some point.
Right. That's the thing. And, you know, to be fully transparent, it's a tricky thing to market because there's terror there for people. There's terror, but some women like you just articulated know that go towards your terror and you will find gold beyond your wildest dreams. And those are the women that say, I'm shaking, I'm sweating, I'm going to pass out. Sign me up immediately before I change my mind. I mean, truly, this is what people say to me.
Yeah, I believe it.
So I'm trying to be cognizant of the time. You also wrote the book, Who the Fuck Am I to Be a Rock Star? Which I'm sure talks a little bit more in depth about the program, I'm guessing.
It does. I'm laughing because I'm looking at a box right next to me. I just ordered a bunch of paperbacks because it just became available on paperback on Amazon. And I'm like an underline kind of girl. I like to underline things. So the tagline is how to stop hiding and start rocking your coaching business like a boss. So it is another business book for coaches. I wrote it just for you, Carol. It's like, you know how you said, like, I felt like she was writing just to me. It's written like a love letter to anyone who's feeling like I have this gift. I have this skill that I want to share, but I'm like so scared to show up and talk about it because, you know, I've had life experiences that told me that's dangerous and wrong and I'll die. But yeah, the chapters, you know, each chapter gives a taste of some of the exercises that we do in Rockstar Camp. And, you know, I just recently sort of up-leveled all my online training. So really soon I'm going to be able to have this information and these tools and lessons, as well as some vocal exercises and some Kundalini yoga movements that are really good for healing energetic blocks.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
That can get in the way of the voice. So I'm putting all those together for like an online program that people can access and have the tools, even if they are like, I never want to sing on stage, but I want the tools and practices. So that is going to be coming really, really soon. So we'll make sure to talk about that too. And I'll keep you guys posted.
Oh, absolutely. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
We are so happy that you had the time to come on with us and share your personal stories. This has been so great.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing.
So, so fun. And a very important, you know, conversation. And
yeah, absolutely.
I think this will get our listeners talking, thinking things maybe from a new perspective. And, you know, that's what it's all about.
Yes. I love what you guys are doing. I know that, you know, I'm very much a divine breadcrumb girl myself. You know, I wouldn't be where I am without following those nudges. And, you know, I talk about that in my first book, really practically. Like, I have a whole chapter that's like grace as a business strategy. Like, I really think we have to be tuned into those nudges. And in Rockstar Camp, there's a whole week that we practice tuning into our intuition and really using that in our lives. So I just love what you guys are doing. And
thanks.
For, you know, anyone that's listening that wants to like learn more about it or check out one of the concerts, we always live stream the concerts. So that's really fun. We had like 500 people at the last show watching through Facebook, through my Facebook page, which is Megan Jo Wilson's Rockstar Camp. We'll probably stream it through there again.
Fun.
But like, Facebook is a really good place to follow what I'm doing. And my website is just meganjowilson.com. M-E-G-A-N-J-O is my name. And that has like pictures and testimonials and videos. There's all kinds of really cool stuff out there that shows the magic of what we do. And then, as I said, there'll be just an online component where you can practice unlocking your empowered voice from your living room. You know, you don't have to sing on stage. I promise you it'll be fabulous if you do, but you know, it's really not for everybody. And I have people from Australia, South Africa, all over the world that are like, I can't come to your show, but how do I learn this stuff? So that is all on the way.
That's great. Yeah. And we'll put all your contact information in the show notes as well. So
thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. This was so much fun. So everybody listening, as always, the podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, our website, thedivinebreadcrumb.com, And as of today, we are officially listed on iHeartRadio. We're very excited about that as well. Thank you again, Meg and Joe. This was so much fun.
Look forward
to hearing more about, you know, what you're doing, and looking forward to those online tools that you talked about. And just, you know, thank you again for your time and your wisdom.
Likewise to you.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.